The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
The word of God be on my mind, on my lips, on my heart. Jesus said to his disciples, "A rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. He summoned him and said, 'What is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship because you can no longer be my steward.' The steward said to himself, 'What shall I do now that my master is taking the position of steward away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do so that when I am removed from the stewardship, they may welcome me into their homes.' He called in his master's debtors one by one. To the first he said, 'How much do you owe my master?' He replied, 100 measures of olive oil. He said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Sit down and quickly write one for 50. Then to another, the steward said, "And you, how much do you owe?" He replied, 100 cores of wheat. The steward said to him, "Here is your promissory note. Write one for 80. And the master commended that dishonest steward for acting prudently. For the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than are the children of the light. I tell you, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. The person who is trustworthy in very small matters is also trustworthy in great ones. And the person who is dishonest in very small matters is also dishonest in great ones. If, therefore, you are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? If you are not trustworthy with what belongs to another, who will give you what is yours? No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Well, it ought to be fun to try to untangle that gospel, huh? Every now and then somebody asks, "What's the difference between a sermon and a homily?" This is a homily. The short answer is, a homily is a sermon with a specific task. And that task is to take the scripture of the Mass of the day and apply it to the news or the cultural setting of the day. The scripture we have for this Mass, I think, is a remarkably good fit for that job. First, we heard from Amos. He was a Hebrew prophet in the 8th century BC. He was from the southern kingdom of Judah, but acted as a prophet in the northern kingdom, Israel. The king there was Jeroboam II, who reigned during a time of rampant greed and corruption among the wealthy in society. That was about 3,000 years ago, but it sounds kind of like last night's news, huh? Amos was a champion of God's justice for all, especially the increasingly oppressed and exploited poor. His message, straightforward. You're defrauding the worker. They say, "We'll diminish the ephah." That was a unit measuring volume. "We'll add to the shekel." That was a unit of weight. "We'll sell the refuse of the wheat." We call that high fiber bread, and we pay more for it. The message? God sees, God remembers. Don't do that. Our second reading, most probably from a follower of Paul writing in Paul's name, seems kind of tame. The simple message, pray. But more particularly, pray for those in authority, those with power. And very importantly, pray without anger. Pray with an open heart. Let God do God's work of justice. And then we come to this very tangly gospel. And I get a little confused, but I have a tiny brain. Rich man's steward has been either incompetent or dishonest or both. The boss finds out, the steward gets fired. Here's my first point of confusion. The steward is fired, but not immediately escorted off the property. Rather, the boss gives him the job of making an accounting. So what does he do? He cooks the books. He diminishes the boss's accounts receivable. But in doing so, each of the debtors now becomes indebted at least a little bit to the steward as well. Twist number two, confusion here. The master compliments the steward's cunning. Is this just honor among thieves? Yeah, maybe. N.T. Wright is an Anglican bishop and a highly respected scripture scholar, and he noted this. It was a violation of the law of Moses to lend money and charge interest. So at that time, many of the wealthy would instead lend commodities like wheat or olive oil because it was easier to sneak in huge interest payments that way. So it's not unreasonable to speculate that the steward, who probably oversaw the original loan anyway, was simply rewriting the debts to what was originally lent in actuality. Pretty clever steward. He gets fans, and the boss has no recourse. And then Jesus says, "The children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than are the children of the light." At first, I thought that sounded like a compliment, but it's not. I think what Jesus is saying is, if you identify with the passing, the corruptible, the children of this generation, you will be better at playing by corrupt rules. But if your attention is on the eternal and your energy is devoted toward it, like the children of the light, you can expect to get bumped around. The very famous last line of today's scripture passage, "You cannot serve both God and mammon," is, I think, very much underappreciated. This is not a rhetorical question. Shout out your answer. What is mammon? Money. Thanks for playing. It's more than money. The real meaning, and I've heard money, I've heard love of money, but the real meaning of the word has to do with any possession, any material possession that distracts your attention, our attention, from our journey toward unity in and with God. Anything. It's much broader than just money. So this morning, when we begin this beautiful procession toward our communion, very intentionally, leave behind all your mammon, whatever form it takes for you. I don't think I know anybody right now who's not concerned with their stuff, their security. Leave that behind in whatever form yours takes. And then let yourself see the beauty of moving together toward a closer union with Christ. Absorb that moment and remember that it is there for us always if we join together and move in the right direction. That, my friends, is prayer without anger and with an open heart.